a voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." About 7 years ago, I was on a preaching and sightseeing trip in Poland, visiting several of my Methodist, Anglican, Byzantine, Catholic, and Mennonite friends who were engaged in ministry from the north to the south of Poland. I'd just been in Krakow, participating in a worship service there, celebrating a milestone in the ministry of the Anglican Church there and the Methodist Church there in Poland, and was coming to the end of my stay in that city when my friends Jarek and Lukasz took me on a day trip further south across the border into Slovakia. While in Slovakia, we visited the abandoned monastery of Cervene Klastor. It had been converted into a museum several decades ago, but the building still retained the rich, deep, spiritual vibe about them. Wandering around the grounds of the monastery, sitting in the chapel, walking through the cloister, exploring the monastic cells and the common rooms of the monks, one could almost hear the centuries of prayer and the chanting that must have echoed throughout those buildings for years. They were deserted now. In the midst of nowhere, amidst the forest of the mountains of northern Slovakia, one wouldn't expect to find a highway, would you? And yet, that's what that monastery was. It had been a highway for our God, through which God touched the lives of untold thousands of people across centuries of time. Cervene Klastor is now deserted. It stands empty, devoid of human habitation. And people may visit and eager to see what and feel what had once resonated there, I was, but the halls are quiet now. And this time of year in the mountains of Slovakia, it's also bitterly cold. Those stones are bone-chillingly cold, much like our world, empty of hope, lost in darkness, crying out for God. Last week on the first Sunday of Advent, we explored the hope that we have for the coming of God into our midst. The hope we have in God who doesn't leave us on our own and in our own self-made emptiness, who doesn't leave us in shattered pieces on the floor. The God who is our potter. We are like lumps of clay on a potter's wheel, and as the potter spins the wheel and fashions the lump into what will become an amazing ceramic vessel, so also God, our eternal potter, wants to fashion us into an amazing vessel for the good news of God's love for a shattered and broken and hurting world. This week, we hear about our faith. We hear about the way of faith, Christ's way of life for us, the highway for our God that we have to travel, the highway for God's love for the world that we have to live. We travel from a deserted place, through a deserted place, toward the place that God has for us. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." We may be in a wilderness, in a desert, but we're not alone. God has come into our midst. And we hear the voice of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of God's messenger, proclaiming, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Now, we don't usually expect to encounter God in deserted wildernesses. We seem to think that God belongs in temples, in churches, in the Holy of Holies, not out in the wilderness where we are. not in some cold, empty museum monastery, not in the empty, hopeless hearts of those who are lost in darkness. And yet, that's the cry of the prophet. That's the expectation of the believer. That's the hope of the world, that into the midst of the darkness comes the life of God, comes the voice of the prophet, comes the light, of the good news of Jesus. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert the highway for our God. The way to that monastery from Poland to Slovakia was all twisted around. It was a rickety road with long shadows and dark places and lonely and scary. We were running low on gas, and there are no gas stations here. We traveled into the forest and down through the valleys and up the craggy hills to get to the middle of nowhere to find this monastery. That's the kind of place being spoken of here. And it's not just places that can be that way. It's people's hearts and souls too. It's the darkness of depression that can grip people, especially this time of year. Depression and fear. Wondering about the future, not knowing what's going to happen next, not knowing what's going to happen to family and friends, not knowing what's going to happen to us or to the nation, not knowing about work, not knowing about health. The darkness and the coldness of the wilderness can be frightening. That's the gloom that can reside in us. At a time that is supposed to be a time of great happiness, at a time that's supposed to be a time of great joy and expectation and excitement, it can be a gloomy time and a frightening time too. And it's with that reality that the ray of God's light pierces the darkness with hope and the way that Jesus has for us to live. With the ray of hope of the good news of the gospel proclaiming, every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain shall be made low. Things are going to change. That's what the prophet means here. Things are not going to be the way they've always been. Even though the valleys are deep, even though mountains are foreboding, the going is tough. God is going to change all that. The valleys that stop us are going to be filled in. The mountains that block our way are going to be brought down to size. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. We may think that the obstacles are beyond our management, and if it's just up to us, they are. We can do nothing about them ourselves. But it's not just up to us. God is about to do amazing things. God is about to change absolutely everything. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Things are about to change. That's one of the most important messages of Advent. Life has become cold and dark and empty. Our souls have become deserted, aching for the presence of God, aching for the hands of the potter to come and remold us. But all that is about to change, friends. The aching is almost over, and the hands of the potter have come. And the act of molding and remolding is here. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry?" The cry is not just any old wail or moan. We're all good at moaning, friends. It's not just any old wail or moan. We're supposed to cry out something specific and something good. an observation of our tribulation and an affirmation of God's grace, God's providence. Let's see what the prophet had to say. All people are grass. All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. My dear siblings, my dear fellow cuttings from the yard, this is very true. The winter comes and the grass withers and fades. We wilt up, we dry up, and we blow away. I was looking for some lettuce for my salad the other night, and I thought to myself, I just ordered some from home delivery the other day. And so I opened the crisper drawer in my refrigerator to take a look, and sure enough, I found a bag of salad. Used by date wasn't there yet, but guess what? It wasn't just the other day. It had gone all mushy and brown and watery and icky. You know what that's like. You've got the salad dressing, you got the croutons, you got the cheese, you look at the bag of lettuce and you go, uh-oh. It's all mushy, wilted, brown, icky, and I'm not gonna eat it. That's us. Sometimes that's just what we are. That's what we've come to. And in the midst of that reality where the grass withers and the flower fades, we hear the news, but the word of our God will stand forever. We may be in a wilderness. We may be in a cold darkness. We may be in an empty desert where you don't expect to see a highway for our God. We may be cold, mushy, wilted lettuce. We may be withering up and blowing away. But the word of God, the word of our God, will stand forever. Did you hear that? We're like that bag of salad from the grocery store that sat in the fridge a little too long and is now rotting. We wither and we fade, but God's word, and fundamentally God's word, is Jesus, the Christ child whom we're expecting. God's word will stand forever. That word stand can also be rendered as rises or rises up, stands tall to be noticed. The word of our God rises up forever. Oh, my friends, oh, my sisters and brothers, we may be a bag of rotting salad lettuce, not good for anything by ourselves. The grass withers and the flower fades. Or as we saw last week, the leaves come down off the trees and blow away in the wind of our iniquity. But the piercing hope of the light of God's love shines into our midst to transform us, to lift us up, to fill in every valley and bring every mountain down, to make a highway for God into our hearts. That's what we proclaim in Advent. That's the message of Advent, that the hope and the way and the love and the peace of Jesus transforms the world from deep darkness and cold and withering and death to light and love and hope and joy and peace. As we move on through this season, we're halfway through now with Advent, second week. as we move through this season, let us look around us and see opportunities to share that light of God's love, that piercing hope of the joy of Jesus. Let us look around us and see opportunities to share God's presence with others and know in ourselves that yes, the valleys are being filled in, the mountains being brought down, and the highway of God's love into our hearts and out to others is being made ready.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Let us continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. In the season of Advent, we, your children, praise and worship you for your great glory in forming and calling us to be your witnesses to all the world. Even though we have gone astray, you have not left us without hope. You have sent us your divine revelation in your law, in your prophets, and in your holy word made flesh and dwelling among us. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into the darkness of our world to be our light and our salvation, the light of your love and holy presence. With humility and yet in great power, Jesus took on our flesh in the form of a child in order to live and grow as one of us. In weakness and strength, he showed forth your love and followed your call, even to death upon a cross for the sake of our sins. You raised him from the dead to reign with you in glory and promised his return to us with power to establish his everlasting kingdom. For all this, we thank you, O God. We live in that hope and await his coming again, raising our voices in prayer and thanksgiving as we cry, Come, Lord Jesus. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of the faith, Christ is died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. By Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
In your presence.